I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Welcome, Council President Rawlings Blake. Good to talk to you once again.
Thank you.
Let's talk a bit about this bill that is being introduced by you, not by some of the council, but you're introducing this bill. You have 11 people signed on to it that will require crisis pregnancy centers to disclose to their clients that they did not advise on abortion or birth control. Talk to me about why you're doing this.
Well, first I want to be clear, crystal clear about what the bill does.
Okay.
It requires pregnancy centers, limited service pregnancy centers, that do not provide or refer birth control or abortions to simply post a disclaimer sign stating that fact. Nothing more, nothing less.
The workers don't have to say anything to their clients?
Absolutely not.
It just has to be posted?
Yes. A sign needs to be posted in the waiting room. That is all. And the sign need only say what is true. That is, they do not provide those services. Some women looking for medical counseling and assistance will know that fact up front.
Why do you think this bill is necessary to carry through?
Well, I believe this measure is needed to secure and protect women's access to accurate and safe medical information. You know, unfortunately, there's documented evidence that in Baltimore and in Maryland and across the country, some of these limited service pregnancy centers are giving false medical information to women. And these are women in crisis often, and that's unacceptable. And, you know, there was a congressional investigation on federally funded pregnancy centers, and many provided false information and misleading information about the link between abortion and breast cancer and the effect of abortion on future futility. And regardless of your opinion about abortion, we should all be able to agree that women deserve medical facts.
What about the argument that they may make that, look, these crisis, these pregnancy centers that we run are here to advise women about how to give birth to their child, have adoptions, that's what we do, and you are not requiring Planned Parenthood or other organizations, other health clinics in the city, to do the opposite, which is to advise people that they don't have to have an abortion?
No, this isn't telling anyone what they should have or what they shouldn't have. Absolutely not. This is about getting secure and having accurate information. We are trying to protect and secure women's access to accurate and safe medical information. And if a center is not offering those things, I can't really understand why, if you are anti-abortion and if you're anti-birth control, why you wouldn't want to shout that from the rooftops. I'm certainly not suggesting they do so. Just a small sign in the waiting room.
And what do you think has been the problem that led to this? What are the specifics of the issue that led you to introduce a bill like this?
Well, when you hear from individuals that they were misinformed about the ramifications of birth control or abortion, when you hear that people are told that if they have an abortion, they're going to get breast cancer, you know, when you know that there are people that are giving inaccurate information, we know that we can't turn a blind eye to that.
There are 11 people who sponsored this bill. What's the discussion so far on the council? How many of council members who may oppose this idea?
I haven't. You know, this has just been introduced. We haven't even had a hearing yet. I haven't started counting votes.
The hearing was on Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think the hearing was kind of rushed.
I haven't heard that.
That it was kind of moved very quickly. Things can be, you know, can move very slowly sometimes in city council. Some folks saying this moved awful quickly. Do you think because of the potential controversy of this bill, which is why some people are commenting that way?
I'm sure. You know, that anytime there's a piece of legislation, I'm sure there's some people that wish it moved faster, some people that wish it moved slower. I haven't heard that concern.
And how do you define a limited service pregnancy center? What does that mean? Who are these centers? What are these centers?
The centers that aren't offering medical care, and it's an actual term of art, and I don't have it right in front of me, but there's in the legislation, and I don't know if you have it in front of you, it defines what the limited service pregnancy centers are.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's whose primary purpose is to provide pregnancy-related services, and who, for a fee as a as a free service provides information about pregnancy-related services, but does not provide or refer to abortions or a non-directive and comprehensive birth control services.
Right.
And I'm just trying to, who are these clinics? Do you, are there specific clinics or organizations that we know of in the city to do this?
I think there are about four. I don't know the names specifically, but there are about four centers in Baltimore. And again, you know, simple compliance of the ordinance ensures that there are no penalties, no fines. We're not trying to interfere with women's personal decisions. However, again, I can't turn a blind eye to the possibility of women being misled with false medical information, and that's why a simple sign that it's not an onerous burden. The centers can comply by simply posting a disclaimer sign that you could make in 5 minutes.
Is the city alleging that, are other people alleging that these centers kind of steer people to have, complete their pregnancies and put their children up for adoption rather than having alternatives like abortion or alternatives like raising the child themselves?
Yeah, I have heard all types of horror stories, And I'm sure that the testimony will be very enlightening at the hearing. But I've heard stories of women that were told they weren't pregnant, and told that that they had a false a false positive pregnancy test. No, you're not pregnant until after the time limit for when the woman could have an abortion had passed, and then they're given the correct information.
And why do you think places would do that?
If you are trying to prevent an abortion, then if you give the information and let someone know that they're pregnant past the point that they can have an abortion, you've taken care of that.
And so this would only apply. This would not apply to hospitals. This wouldn't apply to places like Mercy Hospital, an institution that refuses to perform abortions because it's a Catholic institution, but gives other medical services. Would a place like Mercy be required to put this up on their wall?
I'm not sure. I'm sure that we'll take I'll ask that to the law department when we have our hearing to make sure that we know who needs to comply.
Council President, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again.
Soon. Thank you. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, here with my co-host, Anthony McCarthy.
Great to be with you, Mark.
Always. I'll remind you before we begin, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland's Inflammatory Bowel Disease Program, a multidisciplinary care service dedicated to relieving symptoms and improving the quality of life for IBD patients. For more information, please call 1-800-492-5538. We're going to talk about the bill you heard Council President Rawlings-Blake talk about. We are joined in studio right now by our two guests, Nancy Paltel. Is that right?
Paltel,
excuse me. Nancy Paltel, who's Associate Director of Respect for Life, a program of Maryland Catholic Charities, and Karen Havens, who is Vice President of Planned Parenthood of Maryland's Office of External Relations. So Karen Havens and Nancy Paltel, welcome to have you both with us.
Thank you.
And actually, I'm with the Maryland Catholic Conference, not Maryland Catholic Charities.
Would I say charity? That's not this. Let's give you a correct title. And organizations all incensed and throwing their arms on the air. Earlier today, I also spoke with Catherine Joyce, who wrote an article called Shotgun Adoption that will appear on our website. It was written in Nation Magazine August 26th. We were going to play it during this program, but then we thought that it sounded like we were weighing the discussion too much in one direction, so we decided to put it on the web and we'll put it on the air another day. But you can go there and we'll refer to some of the things in this article. So let's talk about this bill. I mean, I'd like you both to define for me for a moment. And maybe you can start in Nancy Paltel and then go to Kieran Havens. What are crisis pregnancy centers and why is this going on, do you think?
Sure. Let me give you the definition, so all your listeners are on the same page to what we're really talking about. These pregnancy resource centers, they're really not called crisis pregnancy centers anymore, pregnancy resource centers are charities that provide free services to pregnant women in need. So what they try to do is help her remove obstacles to childbirth. A woman's natural instinct is to want to carry the pregnancy to term, but often there are obstacles. So they help her with counseling. They help her get prenatal care so that she has a healthy baby. They partner with city agencies and state agencies to make sure that she gets the services she needs. They help her get enrolled in Medicaid, in the WIC program. She may have a drug or alcohol problem. She may need affordable housing. Basically, they help her with whatever she needs to feel good about carrying that baby to term. They do provide what they call crisis intervention counseling, because many of these women are very emotionally upset. They've been abandoned by everyone they love. And they do also provide material support, such as cribs, maternity clothes, diapers, formula. So, yes, they are pro-life organizations. They are, as you said, very proud of the fact that they don't provide abortions or contraception. They provide pregnancy support services. Abortion is a pregnancy termination service. Contraception is a pregnancy prevention service. They're in the business of supporting women who are already pregnant. And yes, they do post that. They do. It's very obvious from their websites, from their advertising. If you call them and ask them on the phone, do you provide abortions? They say, no, we do not, but we'd like you to come in and talk with us, and we can help you through your pregnancy.
Karen Havens.
Well, according to the bill introduced by the council president, a pregnancy center is a center that whose primary purpose is to provide pregnancy-related services, and who, for a fee or as a free service, provides information about pregnancy-related services, and does not provide or refer for abortions or non-directive and comprehensive birth control services. And
what does that mean to you?
Well, if we go back to 2006, the federal government was funding this group of centers, primarily run by an organization called CareNet, and there are others. And what they found in the research that they conducted, the congressional researchers, there were female investigators who spoke with 23 centers across the country. And they found that these crisis pregnancy centers were providing, quote, false and misleading, end quote, information about abortion. And then in Maryland in 2007, NARAL Pro-Choice Maryland conducted a study where they visited 11 of these specific kinds of centers in total, and found that that pattern was consistent with the congressional researchers' work, that there was false information given about abortion risks, and there was also misleading data on birth control. In 2008, there was another report done where 37 calls were made, 37 centers were contacted in Maryland, and two out of the 27, out of 27 of the centers, only two of them mentioned social programs like WIC. None of them mentioned prenatal care. And 26 out of 27 gave no indication of their anti-choice mission. And in the council president's perspective, and two-thirds of the city council, in addition, this is not acceptable as a public health practice, particularly for vulnerable women who need all the information possible to make informed decisions.
Oh, Nancy, what about that? I mean, you laid out very clearly what the expectations are, what your understanding is that these centers actually provide this information. They're very clear about what their mission is, whether it's anti-abortion or not, to provide abortion services, but very proud of its affiliation with pro-life and bringing pregnancy to term. What about the study that says there is some information that's going out there that's somewhat misleading to these women who are in crisis?
Well, we found that there's nothing that's true in that study. We've looked at it, and it's basically hearsay. The way to get true information about what goes on at the centers is to talk to the clients. Pregnancy resource centers serve about 30,000 women in Maryland every year. And if you talk to these clients, they will tell you about the love, the emotional support that they got. They will tell you how the information they got was accurate, that they got compassionate love and support, competent care. Some of these centers have been operating for 20 to 30 years. They've never had a single complaint. So when you say, like when the president's saying, oh, she heard of complaints, or you talk about these complaints, these are NARAL sending interns in to basically spy on the centers and try to find something they don't like. These are not actual clients. So you need to look at the exit interviews that these centers collect. We're going to have some client moms testify tomorrow. I mean, they gush about the wonderful support that they got at these centers. So I think it's important. What we're finding is that none of the council people have done their due diligence. Not one of them had actually visited a pregnancy center in Baltimore City. And now, as some of them are starting to visit the centers, they're saying, wow, I didn't know these services were here. I didn't know you were working with the community the way that you are. I didn't know you were providing these services to these women, services that the city does not and cannot afford to provide, and we're providing them for free. So I think you have to consider the source. If Coca-Cola sent spies into the Pepsi bottling company and wrote a report, it probably would be pretty biased.
Karen, so what about the idea that this could be, and it appears, I think that Nancy makes a very good case, that when we target a very specific center or a center that doesn't provide abortion services and require them to post that they do not provide abortion services, do not counsel about birth control. What about the flip side? Mark asked this of the council president. What about the flip side? Why wouldn't an organization that provides abortion services or provides birth control or an organization that does not provide abstinence or adoption services, why wouldn't we require them to post that as well?
Well, I think that the issue is that you have national research backed up by two studies in which we can clearly see that it is a practice to withhold information or provide misinformation. So what we're really dealing with is how can women in Baltimore City make educated, informed decisions about their lives and their futures without all of the information in front of them, all of the information as provided factually and based on research from the CDC, approved by the FDA. These are just the facts, and women deserve to be able to make these facts. And I think that medical providers like the Baltimore City Health Clinics or private GYNs or Planned Parenthood will provide all options counseling. That's our job. That's what we do.
Including adoption?
Absolutely. We are all of our documents, all of our information that we provide to our patients is designed so that they can, in a non-judgmental environment, and make the decision that's right for them. So we have referral lists for a dozen or so adoption agencies. We, of course, help sign women up for WIC. We provide prenatal vitamins for women who decide to carry their pregnancies. I mean, we're all about whatever women in Baltimore City need to make the right choice for them.
Well, let me, Anthony, please keep jumping in here.
No, but, I mean, okay.
Don't be shy. It's not, not that you
me
are.
Me shy?
No, okay. No, you're not. But part of the reason for this, it seems to me, is the battle that's gone on in America around this question for a long time. I mean, the studies I've read in preparation for the show, there were for the 40 years before Roe v. Wade, there were lots of young women who were literally forced to give up their children, anywhere from 1.5 to 8 million women, nobody's really sure, over those course of years. I knew several growing up myself at 16 who were literally forced to kind of give up their children at 16 years old. Then Roe v. Wade comes along, and for a number of years, that number went way down, and women who became pregnant and were not married ended up keeping their babies. And then there was another surge going the other way, and that surge was in part, fueled by money out of administrations to encourage adoption. And adoption has become like the buzzword as opposed to abortion in America. That's been part of one of the battlegrounds. And so one of the arguments that I've read, I'll look to Nancy Patel, because I know that because I know this is not part of the Catholic Conference, but that there are groups that operate some facilities in Baltimore, CareNet, that have come under a lot of scrutiny in other states for the way they treat women who come to those centers. that they don't give them, they've been accused of not giving them proper counseling, kind of forcing people into adoptions and having children without knowing the results, that it was very tied to the Family Research Council and the whole political agenda over there, and that was part of the problems. And there's a difference between, some people would argue, a center that says, okay, you want an adoption, we're going to help you through this and help you get through this, and those that have made a business of adoptions, which is what they're saying CareNet's part of. And we hope they would come on the show today, but when we called them, they suggested you come. Sure. So I know you don't represent CareNet, yeah. So I'm just
right.
But so let's talk about that.
Okay, my understanding is no, that CareNet is not an adoption agency. They are focused on helping a woman remove obstacles to childbirth. Whether she chooses to parent or chooses an adoption plan, I mean, that's a second tier, but they do not make money from anything that they do. And these pregnancy centers offer all their services for free. They do not make money from anything. And I think if we want to talk about disclosures, we might want to disclose that Planned Parenthood does profit if they choose abortion, but they don't make a dime if she chooses adoption or parenting. So the CareNet centers do not make money. Everything is free. They are not an adoption agency. They're trying to encourage her to choose childbirth. And when you say you've heard these stories, I would challenge you, because they have not had a single complaint. Their clients are very happy. All the clients that I have personally spoken with are so happy that they found CareNet. Many of them went to a Planned Parenthood. They did not like the way they were treated. They're very excited about the loving environment, the safe environment that they find at the CareNets and other pregnancy centers. So I would encourage you to talk to actual clients, not people who went in undercover pretending to be pregnant, but the actual clients who stayed with CareNet for up to 2 years after their baby was born and still keep in touch because they had such a great experience.
But Nancy, there are the story in The Nation actually does talk to women, and they are named, they share their story and their experience, who felt like that through CareNet, not necessarily the CareNets here in Maryland or mm-hmm. CareNet-affiliated facilities here in Maryland, but they felt like they were pressured to go through with adoptions. When they would have, since they were carrying their children to term, would rather have kept their children, but really felt pressured by these agencies for what they deem as reasons where these agencies didn't feel like they were fitful mothers because they were pregnant in the first place.
Well, I can't speak to that. I can only speak to the women that I've spoken with, the stories I've heard. Mm-hmm. And here in Maryland, it's been such a positive experience. Again, we have state and city agencies who are referring clients to these people. I mean, if you look at the Baltimore City Health Department, they rave about the Greater Baltimore Center for Pregnancy Concerns. They talk about how it's a safe, secure environment, how they can get counseling, maternity and infant supplies, referrals to community resources. If these centers were deceiving women, we would not have these agencies constantly referring women to them. Their mission is love and compassionate care.
And carrying children to term, correct?
Yes, it's a pro-life mission, yes. Now, lying to a woman or deceiving her is not compassionate, loving care. They're building trusting relationships with these women. So their mission is to build trust, to have a loving, emotionally supportive environment. Deceiving a woman is not part of their mission.
So what's the benefit, Karen, to forcing this posting? As I listen to the rave reviews of our own health department in the city of Baltimore, what's the benefit to forcing them to post that they don't provide abortion services or birth control services?
Well,
I mean, an agency that's getting rave reviews from the health department for the city of Baltimore.
Well, let's imagine that you have a friend who is in her 20s and who sees a sign for, you know, pregnant, need help, free pregnancy test available for you. Now, what a woman in that situation in Baltimore City will do is say, oh, you know, great, I can get, you know, a free pregnancy test. This is good. I need to make sure of this. And she'll walk in the door, and what she will be told is everything possible to dissuade her.
Allegedly, correct?
Backed up by federal investigators and two sets of research over the course of 2 years. That, and I'll quote these are quotes from the studies, that, quote, having a baby isn't that hard, I'm sure you can handle it, end quote. Abortion clinics are, quote, not regulated, not sanitary, you could die, end quote.
that condoms, and let me just reiterate to the audience out there that these are falsehoods. Condoms have a failure rate of 35%, and that birth control causes infertility and cancer. And then let me just say for the record that when used properly, condoms have a 3% failure rate. And
according to some sources.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, and actually the city of Baltimore.
Some sources.
Well, those are pretty serious sources.
And there are others. There are other peer-reviewed journal articles and medical journals that will, especially when a young girl is first learning to use contraception, rates as high as 21% with the pill. Again, when boys are first learning to use a condom. So we can sit here all night and argue about
But finish, Karen.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, according to the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland, these are factual. And organizations like the World Health Organization. In addition, when 11 of these centers were visited, only one offered a referral to an adoption agency. So I think the idea that she's going to walk in and find compassionate care should she make a decision that the volunteers or employees don't like... I'm not sure that the evidence shows that, and I think that the majority of the city council and certainly the council president see that there is an issue. And what we're really just asking, it's very simple, is just clarity that you're not going to find birth control here, you're not going to be referred for birth control, and you're not going to find information about abortion, and you're not going to be referred for abortion here. That's really it.
Mark, can I make a request that we get back to the bill that's before the city council tomorrow? Because I think we've gotten off of that topic. I mean, the topic tomorrow is it okay for the government to get involved between two competitors? And make no mistake, these are competitors. They're working with the same group of clients, pregnant women. One would like to encourage her to choose life, to choose childbirth. The other profits if she chooses abortion. So these are people. One of the reasons that Planned Parenthood doesn't like the pregnancy centers is they take their clients. And so any woman who chooses life doesn't choose abortion. So for the government to interject itself and to force only one type of charity to post a list of services it does not provide, you start getting into all sorts of constitutional issues.
Let me just take one issue with that, which is that the topic here is really about the women in Baltimore City and what's best for the women in Baltimore City. This is not about organizations or institutions. This is about ensuring that women in Baltimore City know how to get access to birth control information and abortion information so they can make informed decisions.
We have to take a very short break. We're going to return to debate this bill before the city council and encourage you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to the Mark Steiner Show or the Mark Steiner Facebook page and join the conversation there, and we will read your comments on the air. Some have already come in, and we'll read those on the air as well. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at MECU.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and Urbanite Radio stories on The Mark Steiner Show are made possible by Baltimore Mediation, the first mediation firm in the state of Maryland specializing in separation and divorce and business and workplace conflicts. You can go to www.baltimoremediation.com for more information. They're the first such place ever in Baltimore. We are joined in studio right now by Nancy Paltel, who is Associate Director of Respect for Life, a program of the Maryland Catholic Conference, and Kieran Havens, Vice President of Planned Parenthood of Maryland's Office of External Relations. We're talking about a bill that's going before the City Council. A hearing is tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
10:15.
10:15 in the morning. Got my hearings mixed up.
That's right.
10:15 tomorrow at City Hall. And the bill would do this. You would say, some people call them crisis pregnancy centers, some call them called the limited service pregnancy centers. And the bill would provide that limited service pregnancy centers must offer a disclaimer to clients and potential clients defining a certain term imposing certain penalties and generally relating to, of course, I want to read the exact wording. Here we go. It is for those centers who provide pregnancy-related services and, let me get the right language here. Oh, here it is. I'm so sorry. Must provide its clients and potential clients with a disclaimer substantially to the effect that the center does not provide or make referral for abortion or birth control services. That's what has to be posted. Sorry to be babbling all over the place there. So let's talk about that. And let me get a couple of comments from our listeners and let you kind of hear what they have to say. Number is 410-319-8888. You can join us here by phone, or you can log on to my Facebook page and join the conversation there. Just go to Mark Steiner, become a friend, and join the conversation. Nicole Fall wrote in, and she said, yes, they do. This is a question I asked on the center about what they think should happen. And he said, if those centers get public funding, then yes, they need to offer the full spectrum of possibilities. If they are private, then they need to be left alone, much to my chagrin.
They are private. They don't receive any money. They are charities providing compassionate, competent services to women who seek their services. The services are needed. The services are welcome. I see that you keep going back to that NARAL report, the choice
reveal.
That's
one of the things I have. You have a lot of things
but
in front of me.
One of the things I'd like to say is, what makes you think that anything in that report is true? I mean, the report is being served up as if it's gospel value. But we challenge that report. I can go through that report page by page and say that there's not a true statement in that report. So I would simply ask that you do not take the so-called research that is being served up to you as something that's factual. I mean, it is an opinion. It's a diatribe. It's someone who's pro-choice making some opinionated statements about these compassionate, caring centers that help pregnant women remove obstacles and empower them to choose childbirth.
Well, Nicole, I would just say that the city council president is not asking that these centers change anything that they do. They're simply asking for them to post a sign.
And why do you think that sign has to be posted?
Well, as I've said before, I think that women in Baltimore, particularly women who are vulnerable, who might respond to someone offering them free testing and walking a fine line between being a center that will provide diapers and a center that will provide medical information, needs to know when they walk in the door what they're going to get and what they're not going to get there, because pregnant women need immediate, accurate, factual information in order to make their decisions. So I think that the council president is very concerned that these women in Baltimore know that when they walk in the door.
Well, let me ask this question. One of the things that was just handed to me by one of our guests, Nancy Paltel, is this what you're saying you give out to all your clients?
That's what's posted at the pregnancy centers in Baltimore City. It's posted
every
in a frame.
Every pregnancy center?
As everyone that I've visited, it's right there in the waiting room for everyone to see. If you could show me anything in their yellow pages, on their website, any scrap of paper that says, we do abortions, come visit us. Abortion is anathema to them. They are proud of the fact that they do not do abortions. The bill is unnecessary because they're already posting it. It's very clear.
You've seen this?
Nope.
I'll show it to you. This is what Nancy just handed us, me, across the desk. And number 7 of our commitment to care says, we do not offer, recommend, or refer for abortions or abortive fashions for birth control, but we are committed to offering accurate information about abortion procedures and risks.
Well, if you look would be great if it was actually true about the accurate information. And then I'm not sure why then it's a problem. Then they would be almost completely in compliance with what the city council is asking.
So why do we create laws for things that are necessary? Where is the public health and safety pressing issue? What's the problem we're trying to solve if these centers are so upfront, so proud of what they do? Why is the Baltimore City Council spending time on trying to pass a law that's completely unnecessary?
Let me reread another comment, then we'll go to the phones. Judy Monica writes in, as an adoptive parent, I would argue on behalf of birth mothers that they have a right to control their own reproductive decisions without political medical advice. Anthony, you want to say something?
Well, I was going to ask one of our guests, and I might have so much stuff in front of me, I'm losing track.
A lot of people calling in, so we'll get to
that. Okay, Kieran, what about this idea that this really does have a feel for some people that there's a political agenda behind this, a political agenda that is pro-abortion and anti-pro-life, and that when you target a very specific group of centers that are not Planned Parenthood centers, they're not asking you to put a sign in saying we provide abortion services, we provide birth control, we do not, or whatever. I think that there is this feel, and probably some of our listeners are going to tell you this, that there is a hidden agenda. Just as much as there may be one for the Catholic Conference, there is one for Planned Parenthood as well.
The city council president, as well as people like Representative Henry Waxman, recognize that pregnant
both very pro-choice Democratic officials
who are interested in women, particularly pregnant women, but all women in general, having the ability to make decisions for themselves, having access, free access, unbiased access based on science research that is accepted federally, locally, on a state level, internationally, in order to make good decisions. I think that everybody wants that. I think everybody would want that in a situation where they needed medical care and were making big life decisions. And so if there is an organization that is purporting to provide accurate medical information but has an agenda to make sure that women do not make certain decisions, there's a concern about that, particularly in a city that has a huge problem with its birth rate.
We have a lot of people calling in. So let's go to the phones and get some people, for our listeners in here. 410-319-8888. Kathy in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Good, thank you. In response to what Karen was just saying, you know, about the presence of agendas, you know, sure, you know, pro-life movement has an agenda. Sure, Planned Parenthood has an agenda. But with respect to some of the facts, you know, that she's contending, you know, are uncontested, there are a lot of competing studies. I'm looking at this NARAL report, which I got on the NARAL website, and there are a lot of issues in here that NARAL asserts are true. For example, that women post-abortion syndrome is a myth. No woman can have emotional regrets directly correlated to her abortion. Well, you know, in the course of my history, I can name, you know, 10, which I won't on the air. I've met a lot of people that regret their abortion. This has come to be a very a common occurrence. And so how can Planned Parenthood and NARAL contend that women, you talk about the interests of women, and a lot of these information that's disputed that the centers are providing. You know, what about the fact that there is an alternative viewpoint that Planned Parenthood is not providing? How is it that you can contend that Planned Parenthood does not provide agenda-filled information and that it's not problematic for public health?
Karen?
Oh, well, I think that what research has really clearly shown is that by far there are issues with women who actually have postpartum depression, and that is a well-documented scientific condition, whereas post-abortion syndromes have never been well-documented. I would also contend that Planned Parenthood, like Baltimore City Health Clinics and like private GYN providers, does offer all options care that we have 9 licensed adoption agencies that we refer to, 14 prenatal care agencies we refer to, and actually 10 other abortion providers that we refer to.
I know we have a lot of callers, but are you contending, Karen, that there is no such thing as post-abortion traumatic syndrome or post-abortion syndrome?
I'm saying
that there are no women who are actually after receiving an abortion traumatic or traumatized by the experience?
Well, what we know is that anytime you make a major life decision pertaining to whether you're going to have the child, not have the child, give the child up for adoption, whatever choice you make is going to have, for some women,
both positive and negative aspects to it. But what we know from research is that by far the bigger issue is postpartum depression that we want to treat.
And very quickly, Ms. Lurk, you want to say something? We'll go back to the phones.
Yes. I mean, the whole issue of, post-abortion trauma. It's not a syndrome. I mean, that implies something specific. But post-abortion trauma is very real. I mean, to say it's not would come as a great surprise to the thousands and thousands of women. The Catholic Church reaches out to these women through a program called Project Rachel. And we would encourage any woman who is hurting after abortion to contact the Project Rachel group to come get some counseling and some healing. So to say that no woman is ever negatively affected by abortion, I mean, that simply isn't true. I mean, that's why we have things like Silent No More, a group that says, I regret my abortion, because even the Supreme Court says abortion is different from every other surgery because it involves the taking of a life. And a woman's maternal instincts are so strong, we don't let her grieve. She grieves after a miscarriage. She's allowed to grieve.
I don't think she said that there were no instances where women
did not have symptoms. But to dismiss the symptoms that women
have
is not fair.
In Planned Parenthood, in our counseling offices, we actually have posters for Project Exhale, which is a nonpartisan, non-affiliated group that talks with women who are having... They need to talk to someone after their abortions. That's not uncommon. Big life decisions are times when women need to talk to professional counselors or friends.
We go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. Thomas in Mount Washington, you're on the air.
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you, Mark, for having me on. My question was for Kieran. I believe Nancy brought up the fact that Planned Parenthood profits from abortions. I was under the influence that Planned Parenthood was a nonprofit. Do they actually profit from abortions? I guess that's my question.
No, we are a nonprofit.
They used the term excess revenue over expenses. Last year nationally, it was about $53 million. $53 million excess revenue over expenses.
The national Planned Parenthood budget is completely different from local state budgets. We are all incorporated 501c3s separately.
Do you charge for abortions?
Yes, we do.
And do you think that women should know that you charge for abortions but that you don't get any money if she chooses parenting? Isn't that something that should be disclosed so women are getting accurate and safe information before they make a decision?
I'm not sure that that's really the question that we're talking about. We are a GYN provider. We accept all forms of insurance, and we also assist women who cannot pay for any services that they need. So our issue is more about delivering the health care that women need and as a nonprofit, not about money at all.
I thought it was about disclosure. Isn't this bill about disclosure? And disclosing what you do and do not provide? And something like a conflict of interest. I mean, certainly they would want to know that there's a conflict of interest there, that they will charge for one service but not for another.
But what are you suggesting they charge for what?
Well, I'm saying they charge for abortions.
But it's okay. My understanding is, just to be clear about it, is that they have OBGYNs on staff. They do medical procedures and medical checkups, and that's what they bill.
Think of it from a woman's perspective.
No, but that's what they bill insurance companies
right,
for,
right.
Which is different.
Right, but think of it from a woman's perspective. She's thinking she's going in and she's going to get unbiased information about adoption, parenting, and abortion. But by the way, we will make money, whether you want to call that profit or not, if you choose abortion.
But Nancy, isn't there a cost associated with it? I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, they have GYNs, they provide medical services. They have to cover those expenses, right? So they have to build the insurance.
Looking at the annual report from Planned Parenthood International that says they took in about $310 million from performing abortions and that they had excess revenue over expenses.
I'm going with the subject ahead, but to be clear, it's not just performing abortions. Planned Parenthood receives money as a medical institution for women's health services. And you just keep saying abortions. It's more than just abortions.
Right, but what I'm saying is, again, from the woman's perspective, trying to make that choice here and now, she's getting unbiased information?
I've been reading, prepare for this show, and articles of saying that groups like, in Baltimore City, the one CPC in particular that we keep talking about, CareNet, are tied to Christian adoption agencies and make millions and millions of dollars a year in adoption services, and money feeds back into those clinics. And you're saying that doesn't happen?
To my knowledge, it does not. No, everything they give is free. They're giving free referrals.
Do they receive money from political organizations such as the Family Research Council or others? Do they take donations from those organizations?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, maybe one of those folks will call in, but no, they're funded by private donations, donors, pro-life donors who want to help women choose life. They're, my understanding is
and
they're
the Family
fully
Research
funded.
Council does a great deal of backing in that area, according to their own.
I was going to say, that's one of the things we read earlier today.
Okay,
that they were.
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay.
410-319-8888. Julia, you're on the air.
I'm a midwife from Baltimore City, and it's a great discussion. Thanks for the opportunity to call in. You know, it reminds me, the T-Hart Amendment passed in the late 90s by Congress was set in place to ensure that U.S. government-funded international family planning programs provided women with informed consent, that family planning was not forced, it was their choice, and that they knew exactly what they were getting. And part of the T-Hart Amendment, there were six different components, but it required the posting of a poster in the clinic that said, you know, here are all the different options available to you. So, you know, I appreciate all the passion on both sides, but as a women's health practitioner, I can tell you that it's great to hear discussion about just putting posters up that say, you know, this is an option for you or this is not an option for you. So I feel like the precedent's been set internationally, so I'm not sure why it's such a big deal, especially if it's, as Nancy mentioned, already been posted, you know.
I think one of the issues, getting back to the bill now, is the whole idea of why are you going to criminalize a charity that provides compassionate love and emotional support and services to pregnant women? Why are you going to criminalize them and charge them $500 a day?
Which is a penalty, it's criminalizing.
They're making it a criminal offense. It's a misdemeanor charge. So they're criminalizing it. They're charging $500 a day.
If you don't put the sign up.
If you don't put the sign up, or if somebody would take it down to dust or whatever. I mean,
they're not going to charge you if you take it down to dust.
But what I'm saying is the law makes no sense. I mean, this is something that these centers are already doing. As we said, they're very proud of the services and the love they provide to women. Why are we going to pass a law that says you have to do something you don't? And why are we not making every charity provide a list of services they do not provide? Because that's what this is really about, services you do not provide. What's the sense in that?
Do you want to respond, Kieran, so we can go back to the phones?
Well, I think it just goes again to the idea that our focus and I think the focus of the city council, two-thirds of the city council, is on the women of Baltimore and on making sure that if they're going into something called a, quote, pregnancy center, that they are going to have access to factual information to make informed decisions.
That's not what the bill is about, though.
410-319-8888. Tony in Crofton, you're on the air.
Hi there. This is actually a good segue about Karen's point that this is about the women in Baltimore. I mean, all the information that I've heard from the city council president earlier in the segment.
Yeah.
And from Karen, I mean, it is all anecdotal. I've read this study, Truth Revealed study. It's all anecdotal. There's no empirical hard data, that's in the study. And my question is to Karen, what is in those studies or what exactly is the problem in Baltimore? What exactly is the problem in Baltimore? I keep hearing about the nation and even the state and these local studies, but those studies were done throughout the entire state. So what about Baltimore? Has there been a problem in Baltimore? I think it's silly for this bill and the city council for this argument to become a proxy for the nation. You know, the city council should be focused on the city. So, I mean, what's the problem in Baltimore? That's my question.
Is there any pregnancy center that's
The question was
misleading.
To Karen, so let Karen ask the question.
Yeah, I was trying to find my information on, it's Baltimore City specific for you, Tony. What I can tell you is that the calls that were made to, here's some samples of calls that were made to the centers in Baltimore City. One of the investigators asked if she was not pregnant, could she get birth control from them? And she was told that they don't offer birth control and that they don't know where she could go for birth control, that abstinence was the only thing that would work, that the pill was, quote, very dangerous to women, and that it was essentially the same as an abortion. Another investigator visited one of the centers in Baltimore as an unmarried woman and asked for a pregnancy test. The pregnancy test was negative. And she asked, why do you think I'd be late in my period? And the staffer said that sexually transmitted diseases were to blame. And she asked why this investigator felt so sex-bound as somebody who was unmarried.
Objection, hearsay.
Another investigator was told, quote, there is no guarantee of the safety of abortions, and it makes future pregnancies next to impossible, end quote.
So, Karen, will there be women, I'm not talking about investigators, I'm talking about women who will be testifying for this legislation, who will say, I'm not an investigator, I'm not aligned with NARAL, Planned Parenthood. This is my experience when I have went into these centers.
An actual client, you mean?
Yes. I mean, will there be women who say, look, this is what they said to me. This is the pressure I felt. I mean, I understand your point about the investigators and you know, and I would think if they said it to an investigator, most likely they're saying it to someone who's not affiliated who comes in as well. But will there be people who are not affiliated with these organizations actually sharing their experiences with these centers as well?
Well, there will be someone who, following her experience, then became involved with NARAL because of her experiences there. What we found is that it's very difficult because women feel embarrassed and kind of, quite frankly, a little bit icky about their experiences, and so they're not comfortable with coming forward and talking about them. The ones that walk out the door and say, "Whoa, what did I walk into?"
We'll go back to the phones and then cover to our to Nancy Paltel, 410-319-8888. Martha, you're on the air.
Hi, my question is regarding the crisis pregnancy centers. I think we're getting into an issue where we are talking about abortion, and abortion is a touchy subject, and people like to express their opinions. They have a hard time listening to others except for to be defensive. So to get away from that for a second, I recently graduated. I graduated with a degree in community and public health, and several of my friends wanted to work for a women's health center. In looking for a job, they found information on the web about crisis pregnancy centers. When they went to apply to those centers, they were shocked to learn that they were not full-on health centers and they were not looking for help or to hire people with their sort of background. And I just want to know why they would be misled into thinking that they could, with a degree in community and public health, they would be looking to go to a place like that to work as an educator or to volunteer as an educator, which several of them were told that they were not even able to volunteer there if they weren't of a certain belief.
Well, we have like 30 seconds before we have to end the hour, so okay. Quick 15 seconds and
okay.
15 seconds.
These centers are very clear which ones are medical, which ones are not. Most of them are not medical clinics and state very strongly in all their information, and I would encourage you to bring it back to the bill. Can you find me a piece of documentation that says, we, this pregnancy center, provide abortions? It does not exist.
In all fairness, 15
okay.
seconds.
I would just reiterate the concerns of the city council that first and foremost, we want to make sure that women who are pregnant have access to information and know what they're walking into.
And everybody can go to the Mark Steiner Show website and find out about the hearing tomorrow at 10:30 at Baltimore City Hall.
10:15.
Baltimore City Hall to testify and to hear what's going on and to read the other articles you have posted. Catherine Joyce's and other articles are up on that site that you can read for yourself. And McCarthy, thank you for co-hosting with me.
Thank you, Mark.
The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information on personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. I want to thank Nancy Paltel and Karen Havens for joining us tonight. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered tonight by Brian Boone. Interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Devin Finley. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.